Don't know why I like that tune so much. But anyway, welcome my sales ops community. This is Sales Ops with Sales Strategic. And I am excited for this episode today, mainly because I think, and even just on LinkedIn and other places, it's just very prevalent out there that leaders, business owners, founders, anybody that is a high-ranking official or executive at a business, there is a theme that we are setting unrealistic expectations sometimes, especially when it comes to your sales team and sales targets. So that is something that I think should be talked about. And we're definitely going to look at two of the most common pitfalls of setting unrealistic sales targets. And then we'll also begin to uncover what to me the importance, but then also uncover what to measure. So, you know, what realistic sales targets that you should actually look at. Some of the information will be slightly redundant, only because we've talked about some of this stuff before, but it's going to be good information. And like I said, I'm excited. But I do want to start off with a little bit of story time. So, in one of my previous jobs, we were on a high because we ended the year hitting all of our sales targets. And this is when I was in senior leadership. We hit all of our sales targets. Our sales team was happy. They got bonuses. It was a great feeling. So heading into the following year, and we sometimes did a no-no, which was sometimes we didn't even finalize the budget until the last month of the year. And sometimes it kind of spilled over a little bit to the following year. But when we went to, we'll just say November, and we knew that we were going to hit all of our targets for November, December. So that's just to kind of help you understand why I say we hit all of our goals. But in, we'll say November, we were at a budget meeting, and my boss at the time, I'll just say, looked at the numbers and wanted to do an aggressive plan. And you would think that the number to be aggressive, and from any business standpoint, you know, 10% increase, maybe 15% increase, that's pretty aggressive. 20, maybe. No, we were tasked to do a 60 to 70% increase. And the idea was, okay, now that we achieve this one set of goals, let's and one set of targets, let's go ahead and triple, double, quadruple, however you want to put it. Let's do more. And we're going to do that by hiring more staff. So I needed to hire more reps. And by hiring more reps, that was going to translate to more sales. But as if any of you have been in this business long enough, you understand that hiring more reps does not equal more sales. It does equal more overhead. And that is a huge fallacy that a lot of us stand on and don't realize that that's not going to generate more revenue or profit. Understanding how your reps achieve those goals, understanding what the foundation actually is so that you can hire another rep in order to duplicate it, that's important. And maybe you hire one to two more reps, and that's going to generate some more revenue. But what you don't want to do is what we were tasked to do is hire four to six reps so that we could generate a tremendous amount of revenue. I don't think I have to tell you guys how that turned out, but it definitely turned out with a lack of morale, low motivation, burnout, all the different things that you can kind of assess when it comes to having unrealistic goals for the sales team, which then impart those goals onto your sales reps, which a lot of times they'll say this is unrealistic and they'll be demotivated. So we want to make sure we can prevent that from happening for your companies. And we want to touch on first and foremost, when you are setting realistic expectations for your sales team, what are the common pitfalls of setting unrealistic expectations? Well, I did talk about one already, which is demotivation and burnout. So when you set those unrealistic sales targets, it definitely will demoralize the sales team because they feel like they can't achieve it, which is going to lead to higher turnover rates. They're going to feel like their efforts are futile and unappreciated. And not only does it impact the morale, but it incurs costs because, as you know, when you have a team and you fire or you're constantly firing, well, guess what you have to turn around and do? You have to hire to try and replace in order to hit your sales targets. Now, understand when you do that, there's a cost that's incurred because those sales reps need ramp up time. So you're going to have to, in some cases, well, I should say in most cases, you're going to have to incur overhead costs as well, to account for salaries, to account for benefits, anything like that while they're in that ramp up time. And it really is looking at all the sales that you've lost throughout that time because you had this high turnover, when this actually could have been prevented by just having realistic sales targets. And if you've been a part of a sales team that's demotivated, or you've been a part of a sales team that's burnout, it's like a butterfly effect. One person feels that way, now everybody does. And now you have, as a middle manager, your job is going to be constantly trying to motivate. And it's hard to motivate people that just feel like everything they're doing is futile. And then as a senior leader, you're going to have to try and motivate that middle manager. And that middle manager is going to feel unappreciated because why would you give them unrealistic sales targets? And as a leader, you're going to be like, no, this is not unrealistic. This is what I want. This is what I expect. But we have to start understanding that, especially as CEOs, business owners, founders, I'm not going to put the sales leaders in there because they're the ones that are experiencing this. But we have to understand that these people are not magicians. If we want realistic goals met, if we want our revenue projections hit, we have to have the proper foundation. We have to measure. We have to understand what exactly is going on, looking at historical data. I'm going to get into all this, but we really have to make sure that we're setting our teams up for success. And if you're wondering why, your targets aren't being hit, but hey, we did really good last year. Why aren't we doing really good this year? Well, those targets may not have been realistic. And then you have to account for the market. You have to account for a lot of different things that are out there. So just moving on to the next common pitfall of unrealistic sales targets is what I just talked about, poor forecasting, which then in turn, poor resource allocation. So when you set these unattainable targets, it can lead to inaccurate sales forecasts and improper allocation of resources, which is going to be such as marketing spends. You're spending way too much in marketing dollars, your inventory management as well. So this misalignment is going to definitely result in financial losses and could result in missed opportunities due to any type of, let's say you have a product and you have inventory, any type of overstock or stock outs, but just in general, just missing an opportunity from, like I said, the turnover as well from earlier, which altogether, it's an inefficient use of the budget. You don't want to forecast poorly because it's going to come back to bite you. Now, you can adjust throughout the year if you did forecast poorly, but then it leads to what we talked about. Sometimes those targets may be so high that it demotivates the sales team. And then the more attainable targets that you were trying to get. Now, I know some of you guys have experienced this because I talk to business owners all the time and they say this has been the case. Those realistic, attainable targets, they're not even hitting that anymore. Well, they're not hitting it because they are not motivated to anymore. And that's where we have to stop that practice of setting unrealistic sales targets. So, why is it important to set realistic sales targets? Well, when you set the realistic sales targets, you begin to set up this systematic approach to your product or service and how you sell it. It sets up this systematic approach to your sales reps in understanding what to say, what to do, how to do it, how to sell it. It gives them a clear understanding and gives you, as the sales leader, business owner, or CEO, it gives you an idea of what the future performance will be, what the historical performance is. It gives you a full scope of where in the pipeline you are able to, let's just say it like this. It gives you a full scope of where in the pipeline you have any inconsistencies, you're able to adjust from that standpoint. You're able to look at the sales team performance overall, and you're able to measure it by having a realistic expectation for sales targets. And you're going to definitely do all this from what I'm talking about today. You're going to leverage all the data you have in order to make it possible. That is the realistic sales target. So when we look at the idea of, I have a sales team that's been performing, or I'm building a new sales team, or it could just be, hey, what is my VP or my CRO? What are they doing for this year or so far this year? Are we on target with goals? First and foremost, you want to make sure that you all have looked at historical data. And this is, and I'm trying to give you a step-by-step guide, by the way, in order how to achieve setting realistic sales targets, which you're going to get it. And I said it was systematic earlier, which you're going to leverage your historical data, your performance metrics, and this is going to be step-by-step in a sense. So we kind of transition, but anyway. So you're going to want to collect the data that you have. So at least 3 to 5 years of historical sales data, and you're going to identify any trends and patterns that you see, and you're going to include data points such as sales revenue, units sold, sales cycle, and conversion rates. Once you do that, you're then going to break down that data, and you're going to break it down. If you have a product line, you're going to break it down by product line, by product category, by sales territory. You're going to look at your individual sales reps, time periods, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. You're going to have that all broken down for you. Okay. And then you're going to analyze it. Now, let me say this. This is why it's also important to have, if you have somebody that's a data that's expert in data analytics on staff. That's important. You can also outsource if you want to. My company, Sales Strategic, does this for you. If you don't know how to do it, we can actually gather your historical data and break it down and then analyze it for you. Because that's the next step that you're going to want to do. You're going to want to analyze your historical performance. So look for, you're going to look for any trends. You're going to use a time series analysis to identify any different growth rates, any type of seasonality or cyclical patterns. And you're going to look at moving averages, and exponential smoothing can help as well. So that's going to then lead to performance metrics. So we always talk about KPIs, which is average deal size in this terms, sales velocity, win rates, and then also customer acquisition costs. As you hear me say all the time, customer acquisition cost is very important to know. And then you're going to benchmark. So you're going to compare what you have, all the data you have, and you're going to benchmark it against your competitors, and the industry in general to gauge where your market position is. Again, if this is very like above your head when I'm saying all this stuff, it's important to outsource somebody to get to do this for you. The unique part about, in general, when you have somebody that's been in sales for a long time and they also understand data, it can work wonders, because they're going to be able to give you this information from a sales perspective and not just a number approach. The analytical information that they're going to give you is really going to be targeted towards how can we help you increase revenue, and how can we help make sure that your sales team is functioning at a high level. Now, once you benchmark all the historical data, you then want to do a market analysis. So for the market analysis, I would definitely go to your CMO, go to any high ranking or anybody in your marketing department, or if you are a smaller company and you outsource your marketing, go to them and help them do a market analysis on your on the market in general. Because you want to be able to analyze the total addressable market, the serviceable available market, and any expected market growth as well. That's what I was looking for. You also want to look at if there's any macroeconomic factors like GDP growth, interest rates, industry specific trends that could impact sales. So you really want to kind of leverage them to help you with this. And as always, you always want to analyze the competitive landscape of your business. And so two things I said so far, so just so you can kind of remember. You need to gather the data and analyze that data, the historical data that is, in order to set realistic sales targets. Because that's where we're at right now. And you then want to do a market analysis. Now, both of these things that I said, or both of these metrics that I said, I should say it better. Sorry about that. Both of these metrics that I've stated already, you realistically should be getting professional help for. Unless you know how to do it yourself. But you should be getting professional help for it, because again, it's better to get the expert to help you than not. And then you're back into the drawing board, which, hey, we can go back and touch on it again, which is you don't want to cause demotivation and burnout by your middle manager or your sales team, because it's going to cost you a lot of money. You don't buy because you're having poor forecasting and resource allocation. You don't want to do that. So, like I said earlier, it's very important to set realistic sales targets so you can avoid those common pitfalls. And so you can have that foundation in place to be able to duplicate it. So once you have the market analysis, you then want to look at your sales funnel and pipeline analysis. You've heard me talk about this in previous episodes. You really want to look at your conversion rates at each stage of your funnel, whether it's lead generation, qualification, proposal closing. At a previous stop where I was employed at, and I said this before, one of the things we did was use the Six Sigma method, and we actually got really, really analytical because we went all the way to not just the pipeline, but we talked about when they actually did a call with, because these were supposed to be one call closes. Whenever they did a call with a business owner, we actually went really specific into the beginning of the call, to the part in the call that they got stopped, and at what point in the script did they get stopped, to how their conversion rates for closing. So you can get as specific as possible as you need to, but make sure that you have that you're analyzing all the metrics you can. You then want to look at your pipeline health. So you want to assess your current sales pipeline in terms of deal value, stage distribution, and the probability of closing deals within the targeted period. So you want to know what you have in the pipeline, how healthy is it, and then you also want to measure how long it's taking you to close deals and how this impacts your forecast. It is important that you really look at this step because this can also make or break what or how effective your forecasting is. The historical data, don't get me wrong, is very important too, because you really want to understand what you did before. So that helps lead the foundation of what's realistic. But then you also want to get what your current assessment of your business is from a sales perspective. And then you want to go to your middle manager. And this is the business owner, CEO, CROs. You want to go to your middle manager, which even VPs, so your middle manager should be your sales manager. It could be your, so you have a region, if you have a regional manager, you can look at your district manager. And your district manager should have different directors or sales managers that they manage. And whoever it is that actually is the day-to-day person that's interacting with your sales team, they should be able to give you an evaluation on individual sales reps, what their past performances are, to help set personalized targets. And also, you also want to look at what their capacity is. So understanding what is your capacity of your specific sales teams in terms of what is the total number of accounts that are managed, any type of customer interactions, any type of workload balance. I could get very specific into the SDR, BDR role, the AE role. I'm not touching on that specifically today. What I'm just trying to give you a picture of is understanding you really want to evaluate the sales team performance. That has to go into how you set a realistic sales target for your sales organization. And then here's another kind of piece to where you're going to team up with marketing, because you're going to want to go to them and ask them, can they help segment your, which they already should, help you identify what your most profitable customer is, and then what their buying behaviors are, and then what their lifetime value is, which are obviously our keys to retention rate, as we talked about before. I want to say that was episode 2. Sorry if I'm wrong on that. I'm trying to think from memory without actually pulling it up and looking at it. But you also look at help them, or they can help you look at product performance as well. So they're going to analyze the sales data by product to determine which products are really helping drive revenue and which may need more support. So once you look at your historical sales data, you analyze that data and performance, you team up with marketing to get a market analysis, you have your middle manager look at your sales funnel and pipeline analysis, also have them look at your sales team performance. Now, when I say have them look at it, they should be able to assess it, give it to you, but you also, especially if you're a sales leader, you also should be looking at evaluating yourself. Get their opinion from it, but then you do it as well. And as a business owner or a CEO, you want to be able to trust your sales and trust your sales leader to do it for you. And so what was that? Oh, after they look at your sales team performance, then that's when you want to go back to marketing, get the customer and product analysis. Once you have all of this data, you're probably like, okay, I got all this stuff now. What do I do with it? Well, I can go back and say, you can, this is definitely something that your CRO or your VP should be able to do. Once they have all the data in place, they should be able to help make informed decisions to help set realistic targets. If they don't really know how to look at the data and do that, you could outsource it, which is something that I'm always going to recommend to an expert that's going to help you come up with a realistic target. Because you, again, you want to make sure you do it right. If your sales leader is unsure. Now, by the way, if your sales leader is unsure, that doesn't mean that now you're going to fire your sales leader, because that's not what, no. It's important that your sales leader begins to learn this better. If they don't know, if they're a CRO, they should know how to do it though. I mean, if they're a CRO, if you hired somebody and you're paying them that much overhead, they 100% should know how to do this. But if they don't, they definitely need the training to get it, and you should outsource it. So once you have all this, now it's time to set the realistic goals. Now I could bore you and say, hey, make sure you do SMART goals, which are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. But I'm just going to tell you, once they have all the data, they're going to be able to set realistic targets. And they're going to use a combination of the top-down approach, which is looking at the company-wide goals, which are then allocated to each individual teams. And then they're going to look at the bottom up, which are looking at the individual rep's capacity and their historical performance in order to come up with a realistic target. And what you need to make sure you do with this is develop multiple scenarios. So you got to have your best case scenario, your worst case scenario, and your most likely case, and then adjust those targets accordingly. And you need to do that because that's the way you properly plan, which is important. And to kind of make sure that you're constantly adjusting, you definitely want to make sure you do continuous monitoring as well. And that's setting up real-time dashboards, which, you know, that's your CRM that you want to use. And if your CRM doesn't have all those metrics in it, you can go to them and they should be able to implement every metric that I talked about, because these are basic metrics. I didn't even go very specific. I'm just trying to help you from a more macro point of view. And then you want to do regular reviews, so regular performance reviews, monthly and quarterly, to assess the progress. Now, when I'm telling you regular performance reviews, this is sales leader to senior executive. That's what you want to go for. You don't want to have your sales leader do a performance review for the middle manager or the sales team. For you, from a top-down perspective, you as a business owner or a CEO, you want to have that conversation constantly with your sales leader. However, what you do want to do is establish a good feedback loop, and that's where your sales team is going to be able to put any type of input on any type of target setting and highlight any issue impacting their ability to meet targets. And that's where your middle manager should be able to set up that feedback loop. And that could be, they could, in your CRM, you could have a chat, an open chat that stores that historical comments that maybe put in that chat. It could be constant surveys. It could be, Monday morning meetings, anything you can think of to whereas the sales employees can give you the proper feedback. It is okay. They're not going to bite. You're not going to demotivate them. You're actually going to motivate them by giving them a space to talk. And obviously, it has to be give and take, and it has to be realistic. So you, and just to kind of, before we close out, we talked about this having a CRM, but you also can leverage different data analytics platforms like Tableau, Power BI. Those are some of the more basic ones that you can kind of look at. But make sure you have somebody that knows how to use those. And like I said, you can have a data analytics person if you have one in your company, and they should be able to team up with your sales leader in order to help them, y'all be able to come up with the proper answers. Or, as I said earlier, you can always outsource. And I know I keep saying outsource, but that it's important to get an expert in here. That sometimes we don't do that, and then we're getting off on the wrong foot. So let me see what else do I want to touch on before I close this out. Oh yeah. So one of the things that you want to make sure you implement, and for me, going back to understanding retention and understanding how to make sure we're hitting targets, we implemented, and this is something that is should be done. If you implement a predictive analytics model, you can already know what's coming before it happens. And that's going to be important. You need to be able to forecast and have that the predictions in place so that you can know, okay, if we do X amount here, this is what it's going to look like. This is how much we're going to retain, and this is where our revenue is going to be. Hey, we're in July right now. This is what our revenue is going to be in December based off of this. Or actually, this is what our revenue is going to be if we continue on this path 2 to 3 years from now. Because once you set those realistic goals, it is important to forecast at least 2 to 3 years as well. Okay. But obviously, when you forecast, you're going to always, like we said before, you're always going to measure, and you're going to adjust accordingly. Okay. So let's recap here. It is important to have realistic sales targets for your sales team. Please make sure you do that because it helps set up a foundation. It helps allow you to be able to duplicate the processes. And it helps create a systematic approach to whereas you understand why your business is, from a revenue standpoint, is functioning the way it does. If you don't do it, you are going to cause demotivation and burnout. You're going to have poor forecasting, and you're going to have poor resource allocation. I hear that all the time. We hear that all the time from business owners that say, man, I really had a rough year. My team was far off from its goals. And I always ask them, Well, what did you do the previous 2 years? And then why did you set the goal for this year? That's how we start our conversation on, then we go into the weeds and kind of hash it out from there. In order to set realistic sales targets, you need to gather historical sales data, which is collecting the data and segmenting the data. You can have somebody in data analytics do it, unless your sales leader knows how to do it, which again, you should outsource it if they don't. And then you want to analyze the performance. You want to work with marketing to come up with a marketing analysis. You want to work with your middle managers. Have your sales leader work with your middle managers to look at your sales funnel and pipeline analysis and your sales team performance. You want to go back to marketing, look at your customer and product analysis. And then from there, you want to set up realistic sales targets, which you're going to incorporate top down and bottom up approaches. And then you're going to have a scenario analysis, which is you're going to develop multiple scenarios, which are going to give you the best case, worst case, and most likely case, which will help you adjust targets accordingly. And then you're going to monitor and adjust. So hopefully this information was helpful. There's been discourse about setting realistic targets. I do get some topics from LinkedIn. It's a very interesting platform. But it's definitely discourse that's out there. And from a, especially founders, I've been really running into founders that once they sell their product a couple of times, obviously I'm being facetious when I say a couple of times, but they then hire a VP of sales and say, all right, now you need to sell it just like how I did. Not realizing that the founders are the most or are the best salespeople for their company. That VP is going to need to take time to understand what's going on. As we talked in previous episodes, they have to set up a foundation. They have to get the right metrics in place. And then they have to set realistic targets. And sometimes those realistic targets don't match up with the owner, CEO, founder. Understand that even if, or let me just say it like this, having realistic targets is going to be your way to success because it's going to give you the information you need, and it's going to create the foundation you need, as I've said multiple times in this podcast. So make sure you do it. Okay. 4th of July is coming up. If you celebrate 4th of July, make sure you have a happy 4th. If you don't celebrate it, still make sure you have a happy 4th. And hopefully everyone is going to relax. Hopefully you're going to be around family if you can. And then just take some time off from your business because business can be stressful. And just like I said, just relax. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Again, make sure you guys like the podcast. Please rate it for me if you can. Hit that notification button so that you can notify when I drop a new episode. Share the podcast if you can as well. And then if you heard this and you're like, hey, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to set realistic targets. Can you help me? You can go to www.salesstrategic.com or you can email me at goals@salesstrategic.com. And somebody will be able to get back to you. Also, if you have any like questions or any topics that you want me to hit on, you can always email me at goals@salesstrategic.com. And like I said, somebody will be able to email you back. But the biggest thing is getting those topics in or any questions that you want to kind of answer. Or hat asks that I can actually answer for you. All righty, well, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully, it was informative. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks. Doon, 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 doon. All right, let me stop playing. All right, bye-bye.